My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. In the fall of 2005, we ventured out to find an animal companion for our son Alex, who had just turned 14 and was ready for the responsibility. We visited several shelters with the understanding that we might not find the perfect dog the first time. We arrived at the Little Shelter in Northport, New York, our final stop for the day, and I dropped Alex and his mom off and parked the car. When I entered the office, Alex was on the floor with this large white and maroon spotted dog licking his face as if they were old friends. It turned out this Catahoula Pointer mix had just been dropped off by prior adoptees who said she could not get along with their existing dog. After a long and thoughtful discussion, we adopted her. While thinking about a name for her, it occurred to me that she kissed Alex as soon as they met, and it seemed to be predestined that we arrived at just the right time. Kissed, met, and fate. We named her Kismet, the Arabic word for fate. Was this amazingly chance encounter really predestined? Was it fate? Is it possible that our immediate bonding with her was predicated on our all being together in a previous lifetime? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Dr. Shelley Kerr, says that our companion animals' distinct personalities and behaviors reveal they've already lived with us and loved us in a different life. Dr. Shelley Kerr has been a past life regression practitioner for 20 years. Shelley received her Ph.D. in parapsychic science from the American Institute of Holistic Theology and is a certified clinical hypnotherapist, master hypnotist, and master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. Her work has been featured on Coast to Coast AM with George Noory and William Shatner's Weird or What. She's the author of several best-selling books, including Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories. Her website is pastlifelady.com. And she joins us this week to discuss her newest book, Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Dr. Shelley Kerr. Good evening, Shelley.
Reverend Victor, thank you so much for having me on the show. What a precious story you just told about Alex and Kismet.
Absolutely. And one of the things that happened during that meeting with Kismet the first time is that we used to have this thing that when you had a difficult family decision, one of us would call out the word bug hug, which means we all sort of hug together like snug as a bug in a rug, and we would make the decision based upon that. And as soon as we bugged hug with Kismet, she ran right into the middle between the three of us, and we knew for sure that she was family.
That is so absolutely precious, and I agree. I mean, how much more kismet could it be than that?
Absolutely. Shelley, please share with our listeners your path and how it led to your interest in healing, metaphysics, and past lives.
Wow, that's a very long story, but I've always been interested in spirituality since childhood. I had a very eclectic upbringing. Grew up in New Mexico and Arizona, and my father managed the Kingman and Bisbee turquoise mines back in the 70s. And these were the same mines that the world's greatest psychic, Edgar Cayce, visited during his lifetime. And I've written some books for them as well. And then we moved to Colorado Springs. And one of the most famous past life regression cases in history is the book, The Search for Bridie Murphy,
yes,
which is about this woman who had severe allergies. She was going to all the typical means to get some relief. And she ended up going to a hypnotherapist, and they were having some success taking her into the past to her childhood. Finally, the hypnotherapist throws up his hands and says, "Would you please just go back to the actual source of these problems?" And she zipped back into this life in Ireland and relayed all these amazing details. And so this case took place in Colorado, and my mother was at a luncheon where that woman was the guest speaker, picked up the book, brought it home, And I mean, I don't know what normal people talk about at the family dinner table, but that night when I was a kid, we were talking about reincarnation and the fact that we probably have lived before and we will live again. And this just always made sense to me ever since I first heard about it. And then as an adult in my 20s, one of my friends was killed in a hiking accident. And that's after just years of unresolved grief over this strange and what I thought was the untimely death. It was suggested that perhaps I have a past life regression to get more answers about that situation. And during the regression, I discovered that I had known him in many, many lifetimes where he had died supposedly unexpectedly. Like you said, though, really, is anything actually unexpected? And there was just something about the level to which I was able to heal through the past life regression just by viewing reality. We don't always like the reality that we're being given, but if we can learn to view it from a higher perspective of a bigger picture, and it just brought peace and a healing to me that was unlike anything that I had ever experienced. And then I had a near-death experience after a trip to Egypt in 2000, and I realized I had energy in my hands, and I just had some kind of a knowing about the idea that we, thoughts really are things. That's not just a slogan. They are stuck energetically in our energetic fields. And so once I had this transformational regression myself, I had some knowing that I should create a process that combines healing with regression. So there's a talk aspect to it, but we're also addressing the energetic component to memories, which are in people's energy fields. And so I developed a process and ended up writing books and going on the journey and have been completely blessed to have had the privilege to work with a lot of people and just really trying to help people using some of the things that I know helped me over the years and just hoping that I can help in any way. And that's kind of how it all got started.
Can you
So,
share a little more about that life-changing near-death experience?
yes. I was living in Denver at the time, and I was actually, so I really love to travel. I believe that the soul is traveling back to places where we've lived in past lives. And so I was planning on going on a trip to Africa, and the people who were putting the trip together had canceled at the last minute. And so the trip was going to last a month. So one of my friends and I said, well, we're not going to go tell our boss that we're going to go back to work. So where do you want to go? Well, I want to go to Egypt. I want to go to Turkey. So we took off just on a whim in the middle of the summer in July of 2000. So 20 years ago at this moment that we're in right now. And normal people don't go to Egypt in July. That's all I can tell you. So we ran around, and when I came home, there I had just had something happen. I started hearing more audibly the inner voice, and I was hearing that there was something wrong with my heart. I was not going to live much longer, and I was not in an accident or anything. But one night I just got up and I just went into the light, and I was met there by a group of beings who are, big light beings, very cerebral, not really very verbal. And the only person I recognized was my grandmother, who had passed away shortly after I was born. And there was that, nonverbal sense that I was supposed to come back. And then when I came back, I called some friends. They took me to the hospital, and they said, yeah, there really was a heart problem there. My heart was very, very low. So they hooked me up to some machines, kept me overnight until I stabilized. And then they just said, well, we don't know what's wrong with you. So they just put a rubber stamp on it, called it a virus, and sent me home. And then I started just having rushes of energy and just kind of a lot of knowing about things that were completely out of my actual awareness as just a regular person who was trying to have a regular life. And so from there, I just started. I think some of the family thought I was probably having a nervous breakdown. And so I ended up going back to school. I was going to get a psychology degree, but I probably needed a psychologist at the time. But I ended up switching gears and finding the American Institute of Holistic Theology and started studying energy medicine instead, just kind of on a quest for myself to try to find out what was going on with me. And it just led me from, you know, Reiki training to developing some different healing modalities to starting to do the regressions for others that had been so transformational for my journey. And then the adventure just continues as usual.
Do you think the trip to Egypt was something that you had to do to get this process started?
I actually do now more than I did maybe then. I don't think I was fully, you know how you go down the road of life and you have a different perspective? Because in 2019, I had a new book called Edgar Cayce's Egyptian Energy Healing come out. And during the writing of that, it's about the world's greatest psychic and his time in ancient Egypt. There was a lot of the things from the early 2000s that I had kind of either put away, forgot about, or just wasn't really concentrating on that have kind of come back in some kind of full circle way into my awareness. And so I definitely believe there is something of a higher nature there. And I know just in my soul that, and of course I've had regressions on this as well, but that I really do believe I have been in ancient Egypt.
I think that's where we met.
Probably, yes. I think anyone attracted to Edgar Cayce definitely has lived a life or two in ancient Egypt.
Because I have a deep connection to being some type of either a priest or a court doctor in ancient Egypt. And that's for another show and another time. My guest is Dr. Shelley Kerr. We're talking about her experiences, and we're going to be discussing her new book, Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. We'll be back with more of Shelley after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Dr. Shelley Kerr. We're going to be talking about her book, Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. You had alluded to the fact that you've written several books themed on Edgar Cayce's work. Please tell us about them.
Yeah, the first one I did for them came out in 2005, called Edgar Cayce's Guide to Gemstones, Minerals, Metals, and More. I've written quite a few books on gem and mineral healing. And I had met the wonderful people at the Edgar Cayce Foundation through my friend, Dr. Raymond Moody. And through a divine twist of fate, they needed their gem healing book from the 60s updated. And they were talking about it the day before I made an inquiry about whether or not they needed it updated. So I did that one in 2005. And then I came back and did another one that came out in 2015 called Edgar Casey's Sacred Stones, because there were so many, you know, there's 14,000 readings that Edgar Casey gave during his lifetime. And many, many of them had information about the stones and gems that Casey recommended for people, because he believed that people could place a lapis on, for example, and that that would heal and transform the vibrations from their past lives in Egypt, for example. And then the final book that I did for them came out last year in 2019 called Edgar Casey's Egyptian Energy Healing. And that one maybe came to me through some weird kismet. Speaking of kismet, I was just digging around in the readings, and I just had a vision when I stumbled across one of the readings where Casey listed out a set of symbols. And I had a vision that this was to be a healing modality with some pictured symbols. And so I was shown how to draw the symbols. And so it's an energy healing modality that's based on the Casey readings. That's been a ton of fun to teach. So
many of our listeners and myself have been practicing different energy modalities for decades. Your practice seems to be a culmination of different modalities. Share a little bit about your healing practice.
Well, I started out as a Reiki master. So typically, you know, 20 years ago, I was modeling some of the things that I was teaching after the way I was shown to do Reiki. Basically, there's three levels: body, mind, and spirit. We're going to work on the fields surrounding the body to make positive changes that can affect the physical human being by, you know, kind of waving in from the inside out. But this Edgar Casey method, when I was shown this, the symbology is delivered into the crown of the head, and it moves into the interior of the body. And there's a symbol that lights the person up from the inside out. So it's kind of a different way of thinking than I had been doing for 20 years. And also, it's not in as aligned with, you know, our typical seven chakra centers and things. So I've been receiving a lot of different information on healing lately, and kind of trying to teach the students that I have now the differences between that and how some of these older methods were taught. I've developed another one called Pythagorean healing, where I write a book, and each book has a set of symbols that we use. And it's also very in alignment with the way the Egyptian energy healing is taught, that we need to go in, make an impact on the interior, so that we can then create the exterior that we want to see.
Now, your book that came out earlier this year was entitled Meet Your Karma, The Healing Power of Past Life Memories. How may learning about past lives heal us in this lifetime?
Well, I really believe, Reverend Victor, that a lot of the challenges that we are dealing with in our current life may have ties to the past. And so Meet Your Karma is a book that features a lot of the case studies of the clients that I've worked with over the last 20 years who were really dealing with some very severe challenges with anxiety, depression, and trauma. And it features something I call the RELIEF method, which is just an acronym for the way that I work with people in healing, which I alluded to earlier, which is not only is the regression process to be a verbalization of who we were in the past, but there's an energetic component where we go back to events, we send light and healing and transformational energy to raise the frequencies around certain events that happened in the past, with the idea that because all time is now, when we make that healing at that level, it affects all time, and it begins to make cellular changes into the person that are very, very transformational, so they can finally find relief from things that maybe they've, again, I think a lot of people go down traditional paths. We're all trying to be normal. And then, you know, when we realize that some of these things just aren't quite getting us to where we need to go, then I think that's when a lot of people turn to alternative therapies. And so the book features all of that. And then it gives people, the readers have the processes there so that they can do these things themselves, because I'm a huge believer and the idea that we can make changes and we can really work on different processes ourselves.
So someone has an event that triggers an old trauma in them, but they can't relate that trauma to this lifetime. This is what we're talking about.
Yes. Yes. Like, let's say there was one of my favorite stories was about a man who had a phobia, and he was afraid of the dark for no particular reason. Phobias are pretty, I don't want to say they're common, but it's so, they can be really transformed in past life regression. The man was constantly afraid of the dark, had no idea where this came from, and was able to go back into a past life where he was a little boy in a farmhouse in the 1700s and had fallen down some stairs in the dark. And so we just recreated that scene where he was able to turn on the light, go do what he needed to do, and then kind of energetically heal the vibrations around this fear that he had. And then the final step of the process is to take people out into a future memory where they can see and experience themselves in their current life future, you know, being happy, healthy, freed of the challenge that they had had previously. And when they can sense, oh, you know what, I can feel what it feels like to not be burdened by this anymore, and then they get up out of the session and start moving forward in their life, then they can really make huge changes. And in the case of this gentleman, I don't always run into everyone again, but I had run into him again a couple of years after our session, and he said it was immediate. He was able to go ahead and turn the lights out and start living a normal life.
So if someone came to you for a past life regression therapy, what would that be like? Give us a description of what the session is like, the initial session.
It's really using guided imagery. I think people, when they hear hypnosis, they think they're going to be unconscious, but people will be very aware of what's going on. It's almost like just listening to a guided meditation. We're going to do a relaxation. We're going to go into a safe space. We're going to meet with an angel or a guide or a helper who can accompany you on the journey so that you feel safe. You feel like there's a friend with you who really is looking out for you. And then we're going to go into the past in a very gentle way. Depending on if it's a trauma, like in this book, we might go into a space where we can visualize something on a screen. And then I try to work with people, because not everybody is a visual person. So we try to talk about, okay, or you're going to have a feeling, or your angel or guide can tell you like what's happening there. And then we're going to decide, like, how does that apply to what we're doing now? Okay, great. And can we, you know, bless and heal? Can we send some light to things, cut cords? Can we understand the learning? And then we're going to move forward in time into the future.
I've personally had many experiences where I sense a connection to people or places that I've not met or visited in this lifetime, and yet the connection is very strong. In your experience, is this a common phenomenon?
Oh, yes. I wrote another book series about a phenomenon I call supretrovi, which is a supernaturally induced past life memory that is brought on by either you meet a person, you're looking them in the eye, you see a picture of someone and you say, oh, wow, I feel like I know them, or you travel to a place. And myself and others have experienced like just having a little movie run through our minds and the modern surroundings are disappeared. And we know that, oh my gosh, you know what? I've been here in the past. And so I think this is super common. And I think sometimes these intuitive insights that we're receiving seem so off the wall that I think for most people, we just think, wow, that was a weird thought. That was a random thing to think. And then they just push it away. But I think that, you know, bringing more awareness to really how alert we really are to our multidimensional selves can really bring a lot of enhanced peace and healing into our current lifetime. Because I think a lot of things are, you know, adversely affecting us and we're not really consciously aware of it.
Absolutely. There are people who say, I can't meditate or I can't be hypnotized or I can't do this or that, and have a very negative approach to these types of things. Is it possible in your experience for everyone to access their past life memories?
It's a great question. People who have had challenges in the past, I've had really good luck working with them, partly because of the fact that I'm trying to teach people to honor their intuitive gifts. We're not all alike. You know, I've been to those classes where that one person over in the corner is talking about the Technicolor and this and that and the waterfall, and everybody else is over there scratching their head going, wow, you know, I saw nothing. You know, I saw a light. So I think it's important for people to honor how they receive intuitive information. At the end of the day, though, well, I guess the other thing is, you know, I do most of my work remotely now, but even listening in people's voices, but also when I would sit across from people, and if I ask them a question, if I see their eyes moving under their eyelids, I know something just happened there. So if I can get people to verbalize that, you know, I know that it sounds crazy. I know you don't know where this random thought came from, but part of the healing comes from just being okay with at least verbalizing something that might be completely out of your realm of experience, and just let's go with that. And so if I can talk them into that and believing in the journey, then that can help. But at the end of the day, every person is still, you know, you're still in complete control. So people can choose to go for this or not. Most of the time, though, I think that if people consciously are seeking out a regression, then most of the time they will have success.
My guest is Dr. Shelley Kerr. We're going to be talking about her new book in the next segment. It's Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. Shelley, please tell our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and this wonderful work.
My website is pastlifelady.com. I've got a YouTube channel with a lot of videos. If you just put in the search bar Past Life Lady, you will find my channel.
And where can they get your books?
There's a book link on my website. If you click on the link, it'll take you to my Amazon author page, but my books are available in all major retailers, Barnes & Noble, and some of the independent bookstores as well.
Absolutely. We'll be back with more with Dr. Shelley Kerr after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, Level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to Level 2 answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Okay, men, time to be an all-star caregiver. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Be there emotionally and physically. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Dr. Shelley Kerr. We're going to be talking about her book, Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. What inspired you to write Past Lives with Pets?
Well, it's actually because I have a wonderful little fuzzball cat named Biscuit, and I was just making jokes like I always do about what I would like to be in my next life is my cat, because he is so spoiled. Like, I'd like to have people carrying me around, waiting on me hand and foot. And I'm just, you know, kind of like your story with Kismet, I just met Biscuit in a really, what seemed to be, you know, just kind of a kismet way, let's just say. And I just thought it would be interesting. And from time to time over the past 20 years, these case studies are really pieces of other studies that people came in, and when they find out their pet has played a part in their past lives, it's kind of a pleasant surprise. And so I just thought maybe it would be very healing for people to compile these into a book and just bring this more into people's awareness that we really do have connections with our pets, and they're very important.
How and when did you first recognize the animal companion human past life connection?
Well, I think since I started, I guess when it was the past life thing that really did it, you know, every now and then somebody would say, here's, they recognized a pet themselves. And then with, particularly with Biscuit and some of the other cats that I talk about in the book, one of the phenomena that can happen is you have pets during childhood. And I had a pair of cats that I was convinced were the same pair of cats who had come back to me in adulthood. And so, you know, you start to joke about these things, but then you start to talk to people, other people, clients, friends, who feel the same way. And then when we do the regression process and we go, oh my gosh, you know what? I mean, that was funny and it was interesting, but I think it's actually also real. Earlier, I mentioned this idea of the spontaneous past life memories. There's Carl Jung had something that he coined a term called anamnesis, which is like a soul knowing. The fact that the soul really does know certain things about itself without needing hypnotherapy, without needing a regression or any of these things. And I think that knowing our pets is something that we just know at a soul level. If you gaze into your beloved animal's eyes, I mean, there's a connection there, and it's real, and it's just as real as the connections that you have with certain people who you meet and love. I mean, it's very, very profound. And I think these pets are here as some of our greatest teachers, our greatest cheerleaders and companions. And they're here to teach us how to love, how to receive, how to take care of others. And there's just no one who can teach us these things as well as our pet. Nobody has your back like your pet. You know, when I'm acting like an idiot, Biscuit still thinks I'm okay, and that's wonderful, you know, and there's just a feeling there. And I think that it's very, very universal, and it's been a joy to do the book, just to have these conversations with so many people who called in talking about their pets, and just the different stories of love like the one you shared is just absolutely wonderful.
My late mother seemed to have an affinity for attracting past life pets. One day, a cat followed our neighbor's dog home and literally came right to my mother's door. That was the first of a few that she adopted that way. Is this a common experience, and do past life animal companions find us, or do we find them?
Oh, wow. That is so sweet about your mother. But I think that's the thing that's, I think, interesting. I mean, I would want to know what you think, too. But don't you think some of these things that we think are very random, and it seems like, well, that just, you know, I went to the store and this happened, or you went over and here was Kismet sitting there. I mean, it seems so random. But yet I really am starting to think these things are not as random as we actually initially think they are. I mean, I think that we are destined to meet certain people, and I include pets in the people category, and that is, I don't know, I think it's a destiny to it.
I agree, and I think that another word that was coined by Carl Jung was synchronicity, and I believe that this is what this is. This is synchronicity on a soul level. This is our past companions coming and rejoining us in this lifetime to love us and to support us, and for us to love and support them, and also to a greater or lesser extent for healing, because so many animals come into the lives of folks who are grieving or suffering for healing purposes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They show up at the right time. They know when you're hurting emotionally or physically, and they try to come up and take some of that from you.
Ancient Egyptians worshipped cats as deities, including Bast, the cat-headed daughter of Ra. Why do modern human cat lovers literally worship their cat companions and treat them as royalty?
Well, maybe we were in the cult. That's all I can say. There is some aspect to that. And I do have a case study about a woman who did regress to that Bast cult. She was basically on the borderline of animal hoarding and went into a past life and realized that she had made a vow in ancient Egypt to take care of the cats. And so through a transformational healing, she was able to still recognize that, still honor those cats, but do it in a healthier way. So wouldn't be surprising to me if I was there as well. I've definitely do put the cats on a pedestal.
And there you go. That's what Bast would be. It would be on a pedestal. Is there another unusual past life cat story that you can share with us?
Yeah, one of the ones I love. So there was a... I would travel a lot back in the days when everyone was still traveling. And so I used to go to Florida a lot. And I've got a lot of really great friends there who, you know, had lived in FEMA shelters from time to time after hurricanes. And so one client came to see me, and he had had to live in a FEMA shelter after a hurricane issue that he chose not to. You know, they usually come down and give people warnings and tell them, hey, you need to evacuate. He chose to stick it out. And a lot of things were destroyed. He was very lucky that he wasn't hurt. And during the storm, a cat wandered up. Again, one of these, quote, random things. And he just took the cat in. Of course, he looked around the neighborhood, couldn't find an owner. And so they became big buddies. During the regression, he was there for something else, but he kind of offhandedly mentioned the fact that he chose to stay. That's fine. But ever since then, that storm was so bad that if there was lightning and things like that, it really bothered him and he was scared of it. And so during the regression, amongst other things, he ended up going back to a past life in Asia. It felt like it was like an Asian island, like maybe in the Taiwan area. He couldn't quite name it, but it was in ancient times. And he was an islander, and he saw his rescue cat there was a cat on the island. And he recounted the end of his time during that life was during a tsunami. So he was just standing on the island and the tsunami was just coming for him. And it was just one of those situations where there was just nothing he could do. And he came out of that and, you know, into the place where he was going to receive his lessons. And he just said, oh, wow, you know, this cat, I thought it was just this random thing. This is exactly what we've been talking about this whole time. But, you know, the cat really has been a friend to me for so long, and we're here for each other. And so he kind of took that very seriously. And during the next big storm, he made a decision, you know, that from then on, he would definitely never take it for granted that you could get out. So I talked to him after the fact as well. And he talked about, yeah, there had been a storm. Wasn't as bad as the one that he had lived through, but he definitely packed up him and his cat, you know, and sought higher ground, and they were still big buddies the last time I heard from them.
So in other words, in his bug out bag, he has a place for his cat. That's what we're saying.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
That is so funny. As I mentioned in the introduction, our adoption of Kismet was unquestionably a past life reunion. How do our relationship with past life canines differ from those with cats, or do they?
I think that the dogs, I think it has to do more with the personality of the animal. You know, dogs are very, very unconditionally loving. And, you know, cats just kind of make us work for it a little bit more. Dogs just love you no matter what. There was another story from the book about a man who came to see me, and he had mentioned that he was fascinated with firefighting. He was working as a volunteer firefighter in his little town, and he had regressed into a past life during the turn of the century when he lived in San Francisco during the earthquake, and he was a firefighter there, and he had come to understand that the dog that they had in the firehouse in San Francisco was the same one who was living in his modern firehouse, which was a volunteer fire place. But the dog just was very loyal to him and everyone, and there was again that soul connection. It's a different energy. I mean, you have dogs, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Dogs are unconditional. Dogs will be there to the living end, and cats will say, I love you for now, but maybe later I'll be on my own for a while. That's very. What's the old joke? The old joke is that the Egyptians worshipped cats as deities, and cats today will never let us forget that. Something to that effect. That they have that sort of a royal air to them, and they want to be treated as royalty. Culturally, are there differences between different cultures and the way they react to past life pets?
Yes, because I think that there's several cultures that really believe that animals can come back and reincarnate, but usually like certain sects of Buddhism and things, but think of the animals more as a lower energy, a lower life form, and that we want to elevate and evolve into this human form. Personally, on a personal level, I have always thought of the animals as being a higher leveled life form, a light filled light form. And then of course the Japanese and the Shinto religion, they actually worship animal deities. We've got some of the Hindu gods and goddesses coming in as animal forms. So the belief in that, I guess, is more of an Eastern phenomenon than it is in the West, because I definitely know there's many people who look at this book, they say, look, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in that. And then other people maybe are more open to it.
Absolutely. And when you talk about pets and animals having a light to them, I remember years ago in my initial Reiki practice, I had a cat at that time, and that cat would join me every time I was working on someone on a table. The cat would jump up on the table, lay down next to the person, and start purring. And it was part of the healing process and very, very beautiful. And I'll always be grateful for that cat's presence in my life and my healing practice. My guest is Dr. Shelley Kerr. She's the author of Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. We'll be back with more of Shelley after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going OM? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community, because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill, bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Dr. Shelley Kerr. We're talking about her new book, Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. So we talked about cats, and we talked about dogs. Is there a similar past life connection with other pets like birds and fish?
There are. One of the funny ones, this man, well, this gets into kind of what we were talking about before the break, the level to which different people believe in animals and their ability to either reincarnate themselves, or some people, you know, believe that they were animals in a past life. And so one of my clients went back. He said that he had gone on one of those South African journeys where they throw people into the cages in the water and they swim with the sharks. And he was talking about the fact that he was in there swimming with the sharks, and the sharks would all come up to him, and they weren't trying to attack him. They were just looking him in the eye, being very friendly. And so he actually regressed into a past life where he told me he was a shark. You know, I mean, people can say, well, that sounds completely insane. But the thing is, I'm not here to judge really what the people come up with, because he had a whole learning from that and how it was teaching him how to take care of himself in his current life. And, you know, he found healing through that. But yeah, he actually thought he was a shark.
By chance, was he of Finnish descent? Sorry about that.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry.
But I'm bumped.
But a bump is right. I'm called the inveterate feeder. If it walks or talks, I feed it. I have had a relationship, especially more recently since the quarantine here in New York. We have a tiny little urban garden behind our house. And I've always fed wild birds and squirrels and anything that would come my way. And I've developed a relationship with a family of six squirrels, and they seem to just know me. I mean, I walk outside. Obviously, I'm feeding them, so they're attracted to that. Are there people who have affinity with, like, groups of animals?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of the cases that I've seen, one of the messages that really is common is that when you're attracting animals like you are, then it's really a pattern that the soul has experienced over many, many lifetimes. You probably have just been around these animals before, taking care of, feeding, and communing in nature. And so you're just continuing that aspect in your current life. There's a lot of that. I think it's wonderful.
We had a funny thing happen. We have a little hose spigot on the side of the house, and I kept finding it turned on, and no one in the family said that they left it on. And I would shut it off, and I'd come back, and one morning I heard this commotion by the hose spigot, and I looked out the window, and there was a squirrel literally dancing on the hose spigot, turning it on, and then bathing in the water that was shooting out next to the adjacent to the hose. So I named the squirrel Einstein. I said, this squirrel's a genius, being able to turn the water on and take advantage of it. And then I found that she was actually Einsteina. She had a family. So it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And now her kids are hanging out with me, and I feed them every day. So yeah, absolutely. I remember in old Western movies, the to-the-end bond between cowboy and horse. I've also had several experiences meeting horses who seem to be highly empathic. Is there something unique about past life relationships with horses?
Oh, yes. Horses are so incredibly intuitive. I just saw a show recently about the fact that, you know, how psychic they actually are and how attuned they really are to the rider. They really become one with the person who is riding them. And they were talking about some story in, can't remember which one of the wars it was, the Civil War, where the horse just knew it was helping the men to bring supplies to them very fearlessly and taking care of their needs without being asked. And there's just a real, real special bond there.
Have you had any past life regressions with folks with horses?
My favorite one is in the book about this man who came to see me again for a regression, not for this purpose, but somehow he offhandedly mentioned the fact that, you know, sometimes when kids get into some trouble when they're younger, he ended up going off to one of those boys' ranches during a summer in Utah. And so during the regression, he went back to this past life he had in a wagon train, and he recognized his parents in that past life were the people who owned this ranch in Utah. And he was just really moved because they were the ones that taught him about horses. And he was really a farrier, and he was a horse trainer in his current life that he never would have been had he not had some trouble in his youth. And I just think it reminds us that, you know, we all have challenges, but we can overcome those. And sometimes our challenges end up becoming our greatest gifts. And his connection to the horses, kind of like maybe your connection to squirrels and other things, you know, he realized, oh, wow, you know, this is something that I've been doing for a long, long time, over many, many lifetimes. And it's just an important part, not only of your current life, but of your soul journey.
Absolutely. In Past Lives with Pets, you offer some spiritual tools for working with our pets. Can you share one or two?
Yeah. One of the big aspects of this book in the guided journey section involves our the sad grieving that we do when we lose our pets. Because this is something I hear from a lot of readers who are just really struggling with that. And I know that I have just really, really had a hard time with that. So there's a journey that we go on that's a version of a journey that I do with people where we're able to go into a peaceful space and meet with our pet who we've lost and just reconnect with them and reestablish that loving connection and heal the heart. There's other guided journeys where we are able to go meet with an animal guide to receive guidance. And then, of course, there are some past life journeys to either go see how you've known your pet in the past, or if you are like me and you had a pet in childhood who's come back, there are journeys to help people identify that as well.
The grief over losing a pet is often as profound, and in some cases more profound, than the loss of a family member, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, yes, yes. And I think it gets back to that idea, you know, like a lot of people, even if you live alone, even if you live with your family, your pet is with you constantly in intimate moments and quiet times when no one else is around. You're talking to them. They're confiding and comforting you in troubling times, and in happy times, they're there celebrating with you. And because, you know, even cats and dogs, if we have them for 10 years, let's say, I mean, that's still a major chapter of your life. I mean, The love there is profound, and it can just be really, really devastating. And so I just hope that this journey brings peace and healing to people. And I've got a video of it up on my YouTube channel if people would like to go take a look at that one.
Now, I mentioned the fact that I communicate with birds and I communicate with squirrels, and I also communicate with four-leggeds too. What do you offer in terms of communication with our pet companions?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. There are some exercises also about talking about, you know, well, how to hear them, how to hear what they need. I was just asked this recently, you know, the pets, they really have very simple needs, which is called food, food, love, shelter, companionship. You know, there's kind of a limited repertoire there. So, and it sounds like you're feeding everyone and communing with everyone. So, you know, I'm sure you're the most popular thing in town, which is wonderful.
Absolutely. And how would you suggest that people communicate with their companions?
Quiet, just sit quietly with them and just ask a question. And then it's like waiting for a thought to come. It's similar to regression in a sense, because if I ask questions like, okay, where are you in the past? You're thinking about the first thought that comes into your mind, and you're trying not to judge it. So if you want to know, well, how are you feeling today? You're asking your dog that. Just sit quietly, petting them, clear your mind, and then start just using that aspect of your imagination, which is where you get your intuitive guidance, to begin to receive the answer to that question, and then trust what you're receiving.
I remember in all my communication with animals that I use visualization of images rather than try verbal, because verbal doesn't mean anything really unless they have some type of higher training and they're trained to respond to certain vocabulary and words. But the concept of sharing images is so powerful, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I think like a image of something that they love. I guess you're right about that, that this happens sometimes in regression. If the person goes back into a past life where, as an animal, then they don't have the same, obvious, they have no vocabulary. They can't, you know, express things in words. So you might express things through an image of food that they like. Maybe that's a lot of what animals you know, are concerned about. Maybe you could show them a different kind of food, or show them the food you know they love, or some other image, and then you start getting a reaction out of them, and you just kind of gauge it that way as well.
Absolutely. What would you like your readers to take away from past lives with pets?
Really, the feeling of unconditional love. I added a little journey right at the end of the book where we can go on a guided trip into that space where you just connect with the feeling of love that your pet has for you, and allow that love to just move into every cell in the body, because we so need love and compassion ourselves, and so that we're able to more fully give that to others. And I think by tuning into the love and being open to the love that our pets have to give us, we become a better version of ourselves and can really show up in a better way for each other.
Absolutely. What's next for Dr. Shelley Care?
I am in the process of creating an online school, because all of my traveling was canceled this year, of course. And so I'm really excited about it. I've been teaching energy healing classes. I'm going to have the relief method on the school where people can actually come with me through videos to go through the relief method in a really slow and gentle way. And I'm just putting up all kinds of classes. And it has been such a joy to connect with some of these students over Zoom. I mean, I know we're not with each other, but it's just a way we can be with each other in a different way during these difficult times. And we send healing and light to the world. And it's just been a complete joy and a complete surprise this year.
Absolutely. Her name is Dr. Shelley Care. We've been talking about her book, Past Lives with Pets, Discover Your Timeless Connection to Your Beloved Animals. Shelley, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can find your website and more about your books.
Yeah, they can come to my website. It's pastlifelady.com. There's a book link there you can check out. And also, Past Lives with Pets is right on the cover page with some options for where you can find it. My YouTube channel is Past Life Lady. I'm on Instagram at Shelley Care. I put pictures of Little Biscuit up there. And I've got a Facebook fan page at Past Life Lady, where I've also got some pictures of my little critters.
Shelley, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this amazing wisdom, something that we really need at this time where a lot of us are separated from each other.
Reverend Victor, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's such a blessing, and it's just been a joy to talk to you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.